serve in any way that we can. And so I know that you guys had Pastor Matt here last week, Matt Kleinberg. He's a very close friend to me. I know that you guys have had Pastor Zach here. Pastor Zach is awesome as well. Well, guys, it's an exciting time for North Addison Baptist Church, isn't it? You guys just voted to bring in a new pastor. Pastor Matt Tremblay will be here next week. That's exciting. I was doing some looking around, and did you know that in the one-mile radius around this church, there's 20,000 people? That's a lot of people, right? That means that subtracting you guys, there's probably 19,550 people out there that are burning to hear the gospel, right? To burning to hear the message of hope that they have in Jesus. And so you guys and gals are about to have a whole new kind of adventure that is going to break all of your expectations and may challenge you in ways that you've never been challenged before. It is my job this morning to throw down the gauntlet and encourage you guys to continue on with the mission of God. I want to see if you guys can share the gospel more times than any church this year. I want to see this church grow bigger and faster than any church in our association. And I'm praying and I'm rooting for you guys. I want all of our associational churches to compete to see who can share the gospel most this year. Because when we know that when people hear the gospel, it changes everything in their lives. So, well, I guess I should probably tell you who I am before I start going all out like that, huh? My name is Pastor Richard. I'm the youth pastor over at Valley Point Church. I'm the dad to two awesome boys, a beautiful daughter, and I have the best gift in the wife of Sarah. And so I'm glad that they're here today as well. I'm extremely honored and with the privilege of bringing God's word to you this morning. So if you don't mind opening your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, we will be in verse 15. And we can read that together. Sorry that the slides aren't working this morning. I'm going to rely a little bit more on my notes this morning than I would. All right, Mark chapter 16, if you're there, we're going to read verse 15. Verse 15, and he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day, Lord God. Thank you for North Addison Baptist Church, Father. I just want to pray for those that are outside the walls of this church right now, Lord God, that the gospel would get to them, Father, that your children in this church right here, right now, would go out and make a witness of you, Lord God. And so we love you and we praise you, and it's Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, well, this is right before Jesus' ascension into heaven, and he's talking to his disciples, and he says, go and proclaim the gospel to all creation. That sounds pretty easy, right? Jesus is about to leave, and he goes, hey, all this training that I've been doing, now it's your job. I'm going home to be with the Father. This is now on you. And so, turn to your neighbor real quick and say, you should go do that. You should go do that. Look at him again and say, you should go do that. Now turn around, now turn away really quick because you know that they're in for a wild ride. Okay, how do we know that this is a wild ride? Well, this is the root of the Great Commission. You don't get the name great by being easy. Great implies that you are doing something that not everyone can do. The mission that God has given us this morning is way bigger than any one of us. Let's look at some examples of some of the greatest gospel givers that we know, the guys that we look up to as the pinnacle of the faith. You know, the 13 best friends of Jesus, okay? All right, Matthew, you know this guy, he opened up the New Testament. What you may not know is that he ended up going to Ethiopia, where he died. That sounds fun. He suffered martyrdom. Someone didn't like him very much, and they put a sword in him, and he died slowly. A terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. His death marks the beginning, not an end, to the spreading of the gospel's truth throughout the continent of Africa. Mark, also one of those special gospel writers, took a journey as well. He started walking southwest and continued until it ended. He traveled a similar route to Matthew, but took a left in Albuquerque and ended up in Alexandria, Egypt. According to secular history, this is where he was dragged through the streets by a horse until he died, a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. His legacy, however, continues to galvanize believers throughout northern Africa. Luke, you know that guy who wrote the gospel? Headed another direction, to Greece, where he got a nice necktie that elongated his neck. I would call that a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. A fate met due to his fervent preaching of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for the lost. His words live on, reaching those he never met. John experienced what can only be described as a miraculous escape from death when he survived being boiled alive in Rome. Those are not the hot tubs that they sell in the mall, they just look like them. Though he later lived in exile on the island of Patmos, it was there he penned the prophetic book of Revelation, returning to serve as bishop of Edessa. John passed away peacefully, the only apostle to do so. The effects of his ministry can only be called prolific. Peter's end came on an upside-down cross, a choice he made feeling unworthy to die as Jesus did. He died a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. His crucifixion upside down speaks volumes of his humility and devotion. His message speaks to millions of believers and lost people every day. James, the leader of the Church of Jerusalem, faced death by being thrown from the temple's roof, only to be beaten to death upon surviving the fall. He died a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. His steadfastness and faith, even to death, echoes through time. The message that he gave the people is still reverberating today. James, the son of Zebedee's leadership, a dedication to the ministry, were cut short in Jerusalem. They removed his head for him. I'm sure he appreciated that. He died a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. His defense of faith inspired even his executioner to convert and accept the same fate. People were changed, and people are still being changed by his witness long after his death. Bartholomew's missionary work took him far, but it was in Armenia where he met his end, martyred by being filleted alive. His commitment to spreading the word was unyielding and spread throughout Europe. The cloud of witnesses that he has is still growing today. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece, enduring prolonged agony to preach his tormentors until his last breath. His words, even in the face of death, were of love and faith. If that wasn't clear enough, the message that he gave was the gospel. His message lives on, and we still tell the stories today. Thomas's missionary endeavors in India ended with him being stabbed with a spear, maybe. There are differing opinions or accounts for him, but one thing is for sure. He died a terrible, no good, very bad death. His efforts to establish the church there laid foundations that would outlast his mortal life and spread throughout Asia. His ministry and testimony live on to this day. Jude was killed with arrows for refusing to renounce his faith, a testament to his unwavering belief in Christ's teaching. The gospel was spread and still spreads today because of him. Matthias, chosen to replace Judas, was stoned and then beheaded, enduring a martyr's death for his steadfastness and faith. And the gospel was spread through his story and beyond. Paul faced torture and was ultimately beheaded by Nero in Rome. He died a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. His writings, born from imprisonment, continue to guide and inspire the Christian faith across the world. He wrote up to 13 books of the New Testament, and his effects were worldwide. It was all one message, the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, what do these guys have in common, and what does it tell us? So what do these guys have in common? They all died, right? That's right. Yeah. Now, we can collect that giving the gospel is dangerous, right? According to the accounts that I just read, you have a 1 in 13 chance of surviving a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad death. But if you're here this morning, you're either extremely lucky, you're dead, or you haven't given the gospel enough. Okay? The message of the gospel you take is going to be met with some resistance, right? How many of you shared the gospel and it went the right way every single time? Right? It can get crazy out there. Okay? But the message will also be accepted, right? I'm sure that we've shared the gospel and someone has understood and accepted Christ, and that is to be praised. The message of the gospel is timeless. It will change generations of people and possibly people across the world if we wield it well. Okay? The gospel is bigger than you. It's bigger than one believer. One believer can turn into a cloud of witnesses, right? We can map the spread of the gospel through time and space. We have records of these men and their testimonies from secular accounts and through our own tradition. How many of you look at these disciples' lives and think, man, that is exciting? Or, crazy, I'm glad that my life isn't like that. Or maybe you're thinking, I wish that I could do something like that. Is anybody like that in here? I think it'd be pretty exciting, right? The thing is, you are called to do the same thing that these men did. If necessary, to die for the gospel that you claim to love. Now listen, I love to listen to people's testimonies. Does anybody else like to listen to people's testimonies? Yeah, right? They hit you in a place in your soul that regular stories just can't. Some are funny, some are serious, some come from a sad place, but they always end in joy, the joy of the Lord. And when the Lord works, it doesn't come back void. If you are saved this morning, you have a testimony, and the people that you share it with can create your own cloud of witnesses that span the lengths of time and space. And one of the coolest things is that we can actually track that now. So I had this slide. We had Shepherd to Shepherd a couple weeks ago, and we had this pastor come in, and they're starting a new work. It's called The Cloud of Witnesses. Now, what The Cloud of Witnesses is you can go on to their site, and you can type out your testimony, and you can tag people and other churches. And this grows your cloud, right? There's people connected. It's a really, really cool thing to see. I just think it's awesome. So, how many of you this morning have a testimony? How many of you have a good testimony? All of your hands should be up, right? Right? They're all good. How many of you ever put that testimony to work? Testimonies are powerful, right? How many of you would like to? I should see all your hands up. If that, right? Okay. I want you, really quick, to close your eyes and take a deep breath and think. What is your story? What is the story that God told you to go into all the world and proclaim the gospel? Just take a minute to think about that. How many of you would be more comfortable telling your dog your testimony than a human? Right? Yeah. It can be scary, right? We have the fear of rejection in us, right? That's just, it's natural, right? So you guys remember just a few minutes ago when I asked if you guys like listening to testimonies, right? I love listening to testimonies. Do you guys like listening to testimonies? Okay, good, because I'm going to share mine. And if it was a no, I was going to be in trouble. Okay, I'm hoping that this testimony will speak to your soul and let you know that God is still at work today. God doesn't take any days off, right? He still wants people saved, and he uses us to do that, right? And he gives us powerful stories. And so I'm going to share my testimony with you. Sorry, I don't know if I have dry mouth or what's going on, but... Okay, so I was in church at a very young age. I grew up going to Green Acres Baptist Church. Pastor Scott Creech was my pastor. I thought Ben Creech was going to be here today, but he probably slept in. But I've known Ben since I was 3 years old. We've been good friends for a long time. I remember sitting in Sunday school and hearing teachers talk about Jesus and how awesome Jesus was and that I should give my life to Jesus. Well, I did that at the age of 7 years old. I remember I was laying in my bed one night and my teacher goes, you just have to ask Jesus into your life. You have to repent of your sins, which means to change your mind or turn from what you're doing and turn to Christ. And so that's what I did one night. I was laying in my bed and funny enough, I went to church the next Sunday. Was sitting in a church pew, pretty much right where you're sitting at. And Pastor Creech gave an invitation to anyone who wanted to accept Jesus. And so I walked forward, and I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 7 years old. Now, I would love to tell you that everything was, this might be rainbows and butterflies after that, but that was not... That was not the case. I went through middle school, going to church, and then my freshman year of high school, my mom was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, and it was a really aggressive form, and I remember praying every night, asking God, God, would you please heal my mom? Would you make her well? And as time went on, she kept getting worse, she kept getting worse. And my faith began to dwindle. I felt like there was no hope left. And then when I was 19, she passed away from breast cancer. And man, I was angry. I was angry with God. I was angry with the world. I began to turn and to fill my life with things of this world to try and fill the void that was in my heart. I turned to alcohol. I turned to drugs. It was a really, really dark time in my life. I had no self-control. I did whatever I wanted. I drank whatever I wanted. I smoked whatever I wanted. I was in a bad, bad place. So much so that one night, everybody remembers that one night, right? If you ever hit rock bottom, you know that one night. Well, this one night, I was too drunk and too high to go anywhere. And so I slept in my car in the back of a church parking lot. And that was my rock bottom. And I said, I got nothing left. I'm just going to let God have it. And that's what I did. You guys are probably thinking, oh, this guy's pretty foolish. You would be correct. But God can handle our emotions, right? He can handle everything that goes on inside of us. And so I cried out to God. I said, God, I don't understand why you did this, why you did this, why you did this. Like, why wouldn't you just save my mom, right? I did it a lot more aggressive than that. But he didn't meet me with the same tone, right? He said, Richard, your mom believed in me, and she's okay. And man, that That rocked my world. That changed my perspective of the world, right? Because God is in control. God is in control. And so I repented. I turned from my sins that night. I had a mess of stuff that I had to clean up in my life. But I knew one thing was for sure, that I had security in Jesus. And when God met me there that night, I knew that I was going to follow him for the rest of my life, no matter what. And then that was when I was about 19 and a half. And then later that year, I reconnected with Sarah. We met in high school at a gas station. She brought me a Gatorade when I was playing baseball, and that was, she was a winner in my book at that point. So, me and Sarah reconnected, and we started talking, and then we got married. But that same church parking lot where I was sleeping that night and repented and called out to God, after we were married, she had the opportunity to go and work at that church in their daycare. And so I started going to church with her there. And I met this guy named Nick Lawyer. I don't know if any of you guys know who Nick Lawyer is. I know Mr. Peters does. Nick is my closest friend. I was still kind of a mess at this point, and he goes, "Hey, I want you to come and serve in youth ministry." I was like, "Dude, I still got some messed up stuff going on in my life." He's like, "Yeah, I don't care about any of that. I just want you to come and serve." And so that's what I started doing. I started serving in youth ministry. And similar to today, the first time I ever spoke in front of people, I gave my testimony, and it was powerful, right? Because what God does in our lives matters, and we have to share it with people. And so if you are a follower of Jesus, you have a testimony. And to be clear, there is absolutely no boring testimony. Now, if I would have stayed in church my whole life, it would have looked a little different. But the truth is still the same. Think about it. If you're saved this morning, no matter how boring you think it is, God the Father gave the most valuable, the most special, and the closest relationship he had, that's Jesus, to have a relationship with you. That's a big deal. It isn't boring. You were valuable because of what you cost. You cost the blood of Christ. And that is not boring. It's bloody. And then Jesus, he rose again, defeating sin and death. You, listen, you are in this story. If you have a testimony, you're in this story. You are in the story of redemption. You were brought from death to life, a place of brokenness to a peace, to a place of redemption, a place of heartbreak to a place of hope. And hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Who can remember that night? Who can remember when they were saved, when they made that decision? What was the first thing that you wanted to do? Anybody? Wanted to tell everyone, right? This is good news, right? And your story isn't just for you. Don't be selfish or stingy with it, because it's going to be important when you get to heaven. How big will your cloud be? I don't care what tool you use, the Romans Road, the bridge, the three circles, your testimony. Maybe you just wing it. I know for me, when I talk to people, within 10 minutes of me meeting a new person, they know that I'm a husband, I'm a dad, I'm a youth pastor, right? And that I love Jesus. And that's what I want to tell people. Or maybe you'll get a tattoo. That's what I did. Zach Minton is wonderful. Zach Minton has a three circles tattoo, and I thought, well, what'd you get that for? He's like, well, whenever I have the opportunity to share the gospel with someone, I have something right here on my arm that I can walk them through. And so I was so encouraged by that. A bunch of us guys from Valley Point Church went out, and we did the same thing. And that's the tool that we use to share the gospel. It's right here on my arm. That's what I use to share the gospel. And so it doesn't matter what method you use to share the gospel. Just share the gospel. I just love our stories because it's personal, right? And people can connect with you being personal to them. When we stand before the Lord, will he say, you have done well, my good and faithful servant? Or will he say, is that all? What did you do with all the time that I gave you? That question racks in my mind all the time. What can I be doing for the Lord today? We just share the gospel. You gotta tell you something, that story hasn't changed. The gospel is the same. It's the same gospel that has been forever, right? You were once lost, now you're found. And we know, I stole this from Zach because I loved it so much. Zach says, found people find people. You were once dead in sin, now you're alive in Christ. Church, hear me, God saved you because he loves you. And that's a big deal. And we've got to tell people about that. Right? Like I said at the beginning of the service, there's 20,000 people out there. We got to share our stories. We got to share the gospel with these people because they need it. We have to share the gospel. It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Go out and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark 16:15 again, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world. North Spokane. You think any of those apostles had any idea what North Spokane is? Probably not, right? But they knew it was going, right? And you guys, the same as these apostles, right? You guys are God's chosen instruments to take the gospel to a lost and broken world. And we have to do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That doesn't actually mean to your dog or to the trees in your neighborhood. It's the people in your neighborhood. That's who we want to tell. If it helps you to walk your dog and do it, that's awesome too. However, we can get feet on the ground outside of the walls of these churches to draw people in for the gospel is what we need to do. So now maybe today, maybe for one of you, you don't have a testimony yet. You haven't made that step to follow Jesus. Let me tell you, today is the day. God loves you, right? God created this world perfect, right? And sin entered the world and it brought us to a place of brokenness. Just like me when I was in the back of that car, I was broken. And I was trying to find ways to get out of that brokenness, but it just led me to more brokenness. But hear me, there's good news. There's good news. Jesus came down. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross and he bore our sin. And then he died and was buried. But he rose again. And upon belief in that, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Bible tells us that you will be saved. You will be saved. And so this morning, if you haven't made that decision yet, I'll be down here in just a few minutes, and I'm sure there's other people in here that would love to pray with you and talk with you about how awesome it is following Jesus. It is getting to share the gospel with someone. Like, how many of you, when you share the gospel, are scared at first? I get nervous, right? But when you share the gospel with people and they accept Jesus, I'd be nervous every single second of my life just for people to know the good news of Jesus. And so as we close here this morning, I want us to look at another verse. In Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20, it says, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. And when he saw them, and when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority. How much authority? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I want you to turn to your neighbor now and say, go. Go. I had the opportunity, the worship team can come on up now. I had the opportunity about 2 months ago. In my high school days, I ran around with this kid, and he had a little brother. And I'm doing really good. Usually I cry every time I preach, and I've been doing pretty good, but I don't know if I can. We'll see how it goes, okay? If crying makes you uncomfortable, just close your eyes. But I got a Facebook message from this young man, from my friend's little brother that used to run around with us. He said, man, I don't know what's going on in my life, but I feel like I need to go to church, and I just need someone to invite me. And I said, well, man, you're invited. Please come. And so it happened to be that he was there on a Wednesday night, and I had a message prepared, and he came in, and he just started asking these questions. And I'm like, trying to answer all these questions, and I'm like, this guy needs to hear the gospel. He's got to hear the gospel. And so I took the remaining hour and a half, and we walked through what the gospel looks like. Now, he didn't accept Jesus that night. That's okay. But there's a seed that's been planted, and I know that faithful people, like all of us, will continue to water that seed, right? And I fully believe that he will accept Jesus, and then I'll get to spend eternity with him in heaven with Christ. It's amazing. He told me, he's like, man, I'm sorry for taking up all your time. I said, no. I'm like, this is the most important conversation that we will ever have. And so I encourage you this morning to go out after church is let out and go and tell people the most important story that they'll ever hear in their lives and give them an opportunity to meet Jesus. So I'll pray, and then we'll close. Okay. Father, thank you, Lord, for North Addison Church, Lord God. Thank you that you choose us to go, Lord God, that you don't put us on the sideline, Lord God, but we are in the game, Father. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for my brothers and sisters here at North Addison Church, Lord God, that you would put a burning in their heart to share the gospel with people, Lord God, so that people might be saved, Lord God. We know that you love each and every single one of them, Father. And Lord, I pray for the homeless ministry here at North Addison Church, Lord God, that they would hear the gospel and be changed, Lord God. So, Father, we love you and we praise you. It's in your beautiful name I pray. Amen.